Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have the Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This is the Porpoise Pod. Porpoise Pod. It's a podcast with a purpose. All dolphins. All the time. Touchdown! Now, here's your hosts, Brendan Tobin and Alejandro Solana.
Welcome on in, Porpoise Patrol. We love you guys. Tobin and Solana. I'm trying to work on a nickname for our listeners, Solana. I don't know what really sticks, so I'm just going to throw up something new every single show, I think.
Okay. Until it works.
Until it works. I didn't think, like, you know, I don't know. I was watching some Paw Patrol earlier with my kid. I was like, yeah, Port Patrol. I don't know.
Is that what the kids like nowadays? Paw Patrol?
They like everything, dude. Paw Patrol, Legos, everything. And a lot of stuff that I like that used to like. Pokemon, all that stuff, man.
Yeah.
But listen, we got ourselves a game week ahead. Dolphins and Lions. But before we get into that, I think the biggest news, of course, of the week, Brandon Jones. He becomes the latest Dolphin to get injured, and it's a bad one. Sounds like he is done for the year. ACL tear. For the Dolphins' safety, he led the team in tackles, and you know, listening to Tua talk today, was a big time emotional leader on that team, very popular in the locker room. I'm a little worried about this one, Solana. I don't know how many more hits that defense could take.
Yeah, I mean, because he took over for Eric Rowe last year, right? Eric Rowe had, I think, last year was playing more snaps than he was, and in the offseason, he was the guy who took over for Eric Rowe. And look, like, I think Eric Rowe is a solid NFL player, but you always felt with Brandon Jones, there was something a little more special building there. Him and Javon Holland have been really solid all season long, Tobin. Like, when you look at the defensive issues, it's been more the cornerbacks not being healthy rather than the safeties. So that's a tough one, man. Like, the Dolphins' secondary issues, you thought it couldn't get worse. And here you go, Brandon Jones out for the season.
Yeah, and you know, he's so key in a lot of those, you know, surprise blitzes that they use from the secondary. He's really talented at that. Just really basically, like, you know, I talk about, you know, NFTF, knows for the football all the time. He's just got an ability to kind of just fly to the play wherever you need him. As we said, he led the team in tackles, but like ball deflections, all these types of things he's crucial at. And yeah, he has a lot of chemistry with Javon Holland. Those two are really, really close. And I think that that's, you know, it's not only a physical loss, but it's an emotional loss. Even Tua was saying, like, you know, this guy is super popular in the locker room. He sits in the locker room next to Tua. It's a really, really tough blow. So I don't know if it's a backbreaker this week against a team like Detroit, but certainly, you know, once they get done with this run of, you know, mediocre teams and mediocre quarterbacks and the business picks up a little bit, I just don't know what that secondary is going to look like when they have a real quarterback being able to attack them. I'm worried about it.
Yeah, and I think we talked about it going into the Minnesota game. At what point are all these injuries really going to catch up with the Dolphins? Look, they lost to the Jets. The Jets kind of had their way with them, but I still don't think we've seen really this defense get exploited the way that it can happen against, you know, when you're in Buffalo again later on in the season. You know what I mean? It can get really, really ugly. And I heard today Mike McDaniel talk about Kader Kahou and Keon Crossan. He's hopeful they're going to be back. But Tobin, I don't think Kader Kahou and Keon Crossan are winning you football games. I mean, who knows? No way Benogany won you a football game. So I guess it's a little unfair of me to say, but it's not looking good for that last half of the season when you're going up against some high-powered offenses. I definitely don't want Justin Herbert to smoke us because that would just not be fun.
So don't even put that in the atmosphere. That hurts. But yeah,
I'm not manifesting that, by the way. Let me reverse the bad juju. But yeah, I mean, it's hard not to think about, right? All those teams that you're playing at the end of the season. Look, these next four games should be 4-0. I'm with you, but as you always say, right? Football will football. So you're gonna
You're going to need
strong efforts defensively. We're seeing it now to carry you through some of these games when the offense struggles and more guys keep going down, more crucial guys keep going down. So that's got to be weighing on Mike McDaniel right now.
Yeah, it certainly does. And Josh Boyer. And again, like this is still a game that I feel like they should come through with, even though, you know, Detroit has had some pockets this season of being a pretty high powered offense. So that's definitely slowing down. But it could pick up because they're going to get DeAndre Swift back this week. He fully practiced to start the week. Amon-Ra St. Brown. He is easy for me to say. He's got one of those fake concussions that the Dolphins are so fond of, but he gets to practice right away. He doesn't, you know, he's limited. And so,
of course, you know, doesn't have it's a lion on the helmet, not a dolphin. You know, it's not a sea mammal. It's a land mammal. So he's good. He doesn't have to go through a week off and outrage. None of it.
We'll see those bylaws one day, you know, just to kind of figure things out. But yeah, he gets to, just like Kenny Pickett, he got to be, you know, he gets to be right back out there, and he's a really talented player. I mean, he got off to an incredible, incredible start. And so, you know, I think for everybody, they know that that's they got some high powered weapons that they got to stop on that side. But it is Jared Goff. I mean, let's be real about it. Dude throws up, you know, he threw for a lot of yards, but we'll definitely throw up some pick opportunities as well. So this is an interesting one. It's an interesting one from that, like, yes, I believe they should take care of business, but it is always dangerous. You're going to somebody else's building. They're 1-5. Like, is there overlook? Everybody's going to say the right things. But, you know, the pressure's on the Dolphins. I mean, they're 3.5-point road favorites.
Yeah. Yeah, no. And they're the better team. I don't, like, regardless of the injury issues, Tobin, they are the better team. And a lot has been made into the 3-0 start and then losing three. You lose Tua, you get him back. And I'm willing to have those, you know, kind of let Tua shake off the rust. Okay, that's it. It happened against Pittsburgh. Your defense bailed you out. You got that game. But look, if you want to be a playoff team, 10 wins is the minimum. And when you're looking at those last six games where it's at 49ers, it's at LA in consecutive weeks, then Buffalo on the road, and then Green Bay at home. I know it's not the same Packers team we're used to, but you're telling me Christmas Day, Green Bay in, you know, whatever that is, week 16, that's not going to be an easy one. And then to finish out your season on the road at New England and then at home versus a Jets team, which looks a lot better than we both expected, like, there's really no time for, oh, well, we're banged up. Oh, well, Tua missed three games. He needs some time to get back into the swing of things. There's no time for it, because if you don't make the most of these four games, you can kiss playoffs goodbye. Because if you can't compete the way that we expect this team to compete against these opponents, well, I don't know how you can expect anything better than them when that real rough patch of the schedule starts cranking up later on in the season.
How much are you excited to see Man Campbell on the sideline, our former friend?
I am. I am very excited. You know what? I think what happened is Hard Knocks just duped me totally, because I thought this Lions team was going to make the playoffs, and I thought Dan Campbell just had this team, like, ready to go. Hard Knocks does that to you. It has that effect on you where all you're watching is one team, you know, the cool music montages that they make with the practice highlights. Like, it totally duped me. This is not a good Lions football team. They put up a couple points the first few weeks of the season, but I'm very excited for those muscles on the sideline, bro.
And they were frisky. Like, they were, like, you know, they only lost by one score in their first three losses. Okay, like, they lost to the Eagles, the Vikings are good, Seahawks completely respectable. They only lost to those teams by one score. It's the last two games where it's really kind of the bottom's falling off from them, and I don't know if it's the injuries catching up with them, but they – yeah, they were a high-scoring team, but they've been outscored, I think, 53-6 over the last two games, which is not in line with what they did early on in the season. And I will say, if they do get off to one of these starts where, you know, they are putting up some points. Yeah, we've only seen, you know, this Dolphins team really be in one shootout. It was really an incredible comeback by them against against the Ravens. So I also think their defense does stink. So I do think this is an opportunity that we've talked a lot about the yards this Dolphins team put up. I got to see them in the end zone this week, man. I got to see a lot of touchdown dances. I wouldn't be, you know, let's see some waddling. Let's see some awful gritty. Let's see it all come together this week. Let's go back. I don't even know what Tyreek Hill's touchdown dance is, but like, let's go.
Did you see what Tyreek Hill tweeted today, by the way? On Wednesday.
I love it. What did he tweet?
I will be better.
Oh.
That's it.
How?
That's it. I will be better. And I don't get it. Like, you're leading the NFL in receptions. I guess you could say he didn't have like the most marvelous game on Sunday Night Football, but Tobin, I mean, the offense through stretches of that game was not good at all. Like, he still had good numbers, you know what I mean? So
he's leading the league in receiving by 120 yards. Like,
yeah, in reception yards, I should have said. Yeah, like he's balling. So a better version of Tyreek, sign me up, brother.
I mean, it's amazing.
Sign me up.
Tyreek's very good at Twitter. He knows how to tickle everybody just to know what he's got bringing to the table. But yeah, man. I mean, I was listening to a little Man Campbell's press conference, and he does sound shook. And I, you know, he's like, well, listen, it's hard when you got one of those guys. Now we got two. And he goes, and also two is fast at getting them the ball because they're fast. And I'm like, wow, sounds like somebody's a little petrified. Why don't you do a couple more burpees, dude?
Yeah, go ahead, dude. Get your mind right. 33 burpees, almost faint to prove some point. Your point, I don't know what it was, but you did it for the TV cameras. Way to go. Way to go, Dan Campbell.
Do you think, like, it was so funny? I was talking about this on the radio show today. Like, he is one of my favorite South Florida fads. Like, just like, we loved him for so long, so hard for such a short amount of time, for like those 3 weeks where he was amazing, and then he didn't get the job. But was there like a report like he like threw a fit after he didn't get like a crack at the job, or didn't feel like he got a real fair shake at it? And in fairness, I mean, they went and hired Adam Gase, true bum. I mean, maybe they would have been better off with Man Campbell. Who knows?
Maybe the growing pains would have been there, but it couldn't have been worse than Adam Gase. Are you kidding me? But I think it's funny because we remember the one thing of Dan Campbell is what? Him putting the team through Oklahoma drills.
Immediately.
That's it. Like, that's what we remember, which is just go and bash your brain in.
Yeah.
And then this season now, you have the complete opposite of that, which is, hey, we're doing everything we can to save our players' brains. So I just love that element going in, where on one side of the of you know, this game, you have the guy who said, don't worry about your brain. The way for us to get back to winning football is to go bash each other's brains in. And then on the other side, you have a team which has been plagued by the media thinking that they don't care enough about brains, when actively doing the right thing to protect the brain.
Oh, it was a funny thing, man. I was listening to like an old Man Campbell clip from Dolphins, and it was talking about how, like, you know, we got back to primal football. We didn't even do football. We just were primitive, and we were going after each other, and we did like 1 7-on-7 drill, but that was it. It was all violence. I was like, whoa.
He was Liver King before Liver King on Instagram.
He is. He's football Liver King. That's what he is. He's just like, give him a raw football, and he'll just eat that. Just pure pigskin that's been processed to be a football.
He eats the Duke every morning for breakfast.
He eats the Duke and drops it with like the most hyped up coffee there is. You know, like, it's just but it is funny, like, because you think about how the culture of football has changed in like what wasn't that long ago. I mean, it was 2016, and like, everybody now wants the whiz kid. Like, everybody wants the Mike McDaniel. Everybody wants like the smart guy, and they don't want the former player. Like, they don't want the tough guy. They don't want a guy who's pure football. Like, he really is, like, I'm not saying he doesn't deserve the job, but he definitely very much cares. That is very clear.
For sure.
But it's just strange how that's just not the blueprint anymore. And it's more in line. Now, I think Mike McDaniel's even more on the spectrum of like quirky nerd guy. But everybody seems to be going in that direction who's hiring a new coach.
Yeah, but he'll give you a hell of a halftime speech, man. Like, you need that locker room hype up. Call Man Campbell, and he'll rip his shirt off. His veins will pop right through the seams, and you're jacked up. Are you going to win the game? I don't know. Like, are you going to be schemed properly? I don't know. But are you going to be hyped the hell up leaving that locker room? Hell yeah. Hell yeah, you are.
It is curious, though. Like, I wonder because, you know, what is this, the second year there or third?
I think it's the second.
I think it's the second, too. Yeah, like, I wonder, like, when that does become, like, a bit of a hot seat for him. Because, you know, like, guys, we just saw, you know, Matt Rhule, I think it was in his fourth year. He got ousted. Man Campbell, I don't know. He's it's one of these things where, like, maybe if this continues to go really, really bad, they do oust him. But I do feel like he is so beloved by his locker room. That'll probably be a hard sell on people.
And I do think that he's improved the team. Look, are they, you know, 3 years from now going to be contending for Super Bowl? I don't know. I don't know the Lions that well enough to know that. But if you look at last year's numbers compared to this year's, I was doing a little research earlier. Like, they're better, and you went through their schedule. Couple quality opponents that they played against where they lost, you know, single-digit games. Yeah. So, like, they're in games. They're clearly better. Their offense has been really good. So I don't think he'll have a short leash. However, Tobin, I will say there's a pretty cool. So I saw Joe Shad tweet this out. I think it was yesterday that the last time the Dolphins beat the Lions was in 2006. And what's funny about that game, Dan Campbell scored a touchdown as the Lions tight end against the Dolphins. So then I start looking up like Man Campbell highlights from his playing times. I mean, this guy had a set of hair on him. Van Ginkle-esque.
All right, calm down, dude. Like, let's not say things we can't take. Let's not say things we can't take back. No one's got the Ginks hair.
I'm telling you. Let me see if I could put this photo up for our YouTube audience. It's Van Ginkle-esque.
I don't know, dude. It's beautiful. I mean, Van Ginkle's got. I mean, by the way, he got a game ball. I don't know if you saw the locker room speech this week, but he got a game ball.
Yeah.
Jalen Phillips got a game ball. Snowman and Noah got the game ball. Which it was goosey seeing him get the game ball. No, I felt really good for him, you know, with all the ripping that we've been doing of him and everybody else out there in Dolphins. I was laughing out loud at any Dolphin fan who's like, you guys gave up on him. I'm like, I want to see all of your texts. I want an audit of all Dolphins fans who claim they have never ripped Noah Igbinoghene.
There is not a single Dolphins fan who has not said something about Noah Igbinoghene that they wanted to take back the other night. And also, like, miss me with the, oh, he's still a bum, you know it. Like, hey, let us have a little bit of fun for once in a while. You know what I mean? Like, we won a game. Let us have a little bit of fun. All right? Like, settle down with the no Igbinoghene, still not good. Hey, he won us a damn Sunday night football game with an impressive interception. Like, okay, it was a bad throw. Dude did the twinkle toe Antoine Walker in the end zone and won you the football game. If you're still slandering Noah Igbinoghene after that, settle down. All right. Wait till he gets toasted against the Lions to come back and start slandering the guy.
Let me get your thoughts on this before, because I know you got to get off to do heat duties here. But Tua today spoke, and he was asked about the idea of not sliding. And he basically kind of said, like, they want me to slide, but it's really hard because I like to football. That's kind of what he said. And I want your thoughts on this idea that Tua Tagovailoa is, you know, doesn't seem like he is going to go into this mode of, like, he knows he has to protect himself, but it seems like it really pains him, like the 24-year-old, to go out there and protect himself because he's a competitor and he likes contact, apparently. And it doesn't sound very much like Tua is going to listen to his coaches or that he's going to change anytime soon.
Yeah, no, I don't think he will. And here's why I feel that way very strongly, by the way. If he didn't actively avoid hits on Sunday Night Football, when the eyes of the world are right back on him, every cameraman in that stadium is watching Tua, and the entire narrative, because of what happened to him the last time he was on the field, which, by the way, another primetime game. If he didn't avoid hits in that game and he actively was looking to go through defenders, then, like, to me, that's it. There's no conversation to be had. He's going to keep playing the way that he's used to now. In the pocket, will he learn to maybe throw the ball away rather than running around and trying to evade a hit? And maybe. But as far as, hey, it's third and short, and I need to get to the 42-yard line, and if I slide, I'm only getting to the 40. Well, guess what? He's putting his head down. He's getting to the 42. He's going to try. And that's just the way he does football. Like, that's it. I've come to terms with that after Sunday night, because if in that game, those moments where everybody's watching him, and it was a huge thing going into this week, right? Hey, have you learned how to concede because of McDaniel's comments? If he didn't do it in that game, he's like, that's it. It's done. This is how he's gonna play moving forward.
Well, I think for this year, for sure. Like, I don't know what it takes to get that out of somebody. Like, if you're just a guy who wants to make every play happen, and again, like I continue to say, like the narrative on Tua is really funny for a guy who seems to play the exact opposite of how people think he plays, which is safe, check down Jarley, super meek. Like, that's not really how he goes about his business. And look, he threw plenty of balls up that could have been picked off this last game. Like, he's a little bit more, he's more of a risk taker of anything, not only in staying in the pocket, but with his throws and everything. I don't know if that comes out of him this year. I do certainly think that at some point it is smart for him to learn some of that, because he's not very big, he's not very durable, and he's not a Tom. Look, Tom Brady, you know, throws a hissy fit every single time a defensive end breathes on him, and he's 6'5", 6'4", 6'5". So if he's saying I don't want anybody around me, I don't know why, you know, Tua would be so opposed to it. But I also understand it's a hard thing to get out of you, especially I think at this age. He's very, very young. He's trying to perfect the position as it is. You're not going to, I think, get that out of him. You know, let's just say he plays another 4 years. I would say, you know, maybe by the time he's 28, like maybe he'll have that in him where he knows how to protect his body, let plays die, take some slides. But I don't think that's something that you can flip from the time you're stretchered off to now. I don't think that's possible. I think you are who you are when it comes to your instincts to play the game.
Yeah, you're right. Like, it could come with maturity at the position. It could come from McDaniel, like, sitting him down and doing some sort of like psychosis on him. But for now, you're right. It's just the way he approaches situations, because it's the way he's always approached situations. It's always fight for the extra yard, because that's what's been instilled in him. So it's a good point, though. Like, at some point, he's going to have to figure out a way to stay on the field. And if that means giving up a potential first down, well, it's probably in the betterment of the team, because you can't keep missing games. You just can't.
That's a Porpoise Pod for this edition, everybody. We'll continue on later on this week and continue to wind down to Dolphins and Lions. Salon's going to get off to some West Coast Heat action. And we'll talk to you guys next time.
Tobin, just like Tyreek, let's all be better.
Let's be better, dude.